I want to preach this morning on the good soil. You know, in life it's very easy to become very cynical, isn't it? Especially about the human race particularly. We see the devastation, we see the corruption that's caused by sin everywhere that we go in this life, and we often experience the letdown and the disappointment we find in our fellow man. And it's easy for us to become weary with the world, to become disillusioned. And the truth is, our disillusionment about the human race is often based on our experience, on the reality of living in a fallen world. But what we have to keep our focus on is that despite the complete mess that the world is in, despite the wickedness of man, despite the corruption of man's heart, Jesus Christ still chose to come into our fallen world and die in our place on the cross, in order to give us that opportunity of salvation and to redeem us from corruption. He didn't give up on us like we would have done. And he was well within his rights, wasn't he, to destroy us all, really. But instead, he chose to suffer and to die in our place because of God's great love for us. And it's easy to become cynical about, you know, all men and write people off and trust no one. But, you know, it's a miracle that any of us can be saved, really. And, you know, what God sees is the potential in man of what he created man to be. Created in God's own image and purpose to do God's will. And God knows that he can redeem man from corruption. And it is, I said, a miracle, isn't it, that any of us even get saved. So what makes some people respond to God and some people don't? Is it because some men are better than others? And that's clearly not the case from Scripture, is it? Because the Scripture concludes that all men are under sin. All of us fall short this morning of the glory of God. There is none righteous, it says, not one. The heart of man, it tells us, is desperately wicked. From the top of our head to the sole of our foot, man is corrupted. What makes anyone respond to the gospel is the condition of our heart, isn't it? It's not that our hearts are better than anyone else's. All hearts, aren't they, are capable of responding to God. But not all hearts are ready to respond to God. Some are more hardened than others. Some are more entangled than others. But if we're going to receive the word of God and be saved, our heart condition will determine whether we go on to bear fruit or not. Thankfully, this morning, the Holy Spirit can break through even the hardest of hearts. And ultimately, when we hear God's word, we have a choice to make, don't we? Do we receive God's word or do we reject it? But with that in mind, I want to look this morning at the parable of the sower that we all know from Matthew 13 and verse 1. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts, and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly, I say to you, that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. Therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So here we see Jesus sits by the sea and he teaches the multitudes, speaking to them in parables, stories that everyone could relate to. He speaks about a man going out to sow seed, and most people would be familiar with sowing seeds and seeing plants grow into fruition. And in fact, the very reason, is it not, that seed is sown is to produce a crop, to bear fruit, to reap a harvest. And one seed can produce many seeds and many plants. There's a multiplication factor. If you open a watermelon, for example, how many seeds do you find inside? There's loads, isn't there? Yet it came from one seed. And that is the potential of a seed, to multiply, to grow, to spread, and to bear much fruit. So it's a perfect analogy that Jesus is using here of the word of the kingdom. To multiply God's kingdom, to make it grow, for it to be fruitful and to spread. But because the people were dull of hearing, as Isaiah had prophesied, they couldn't understand what Jesus was saying. They'd closed their eyes, they'd hardened their hearts. This only demonstrates the very parable that Jesus taught them. So the sower spreads his seed. And as he sowed the seed, it says it fell upon the ground and it landed in various types of soil. And some of the seed brought forth fruit, but other seed did not. And Jesus used that simple imagery to teach us about the condition of the human heart. The seed that Jesus speaks about in verse 19, it tells us, is the word of the kingdom. Jesus' whole ministry on earth was to bring the word of the kingdom to an unsaved world. And the one who sows the seed into men's hearts is the Holy Spirit. The soil is the human heart. And the ability for the seed to grow and to multiply and to bear fruit is not a problem for the seed itself, but for the soil in which it lands. Because a seed can only flourish, can't it, in good soil. All of us this morning are capable of having good soil in our hearts. It's not that certain people are better than others. We're all capable of hearing from the word of God, but we all have the responsibility this morning of a free will. And we're not all willing to hear the word of the kingdom. And the response that we give to the word of God is largely but a choice on our part, isn't it? We can choose to either listen or not listen, to hear or not hear. Jesus said, let him that has ears to hear, let him hear. The seed has in itself the potential to produce more seed. Every seed that was sown by the sower had the potential to produce a crop. Such is the seed of the word. And when the word is sown in a good soil heart, so to speak, it'll germinate and has the potential to begin small but to reproduce much. Some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. So what is the fruit that the seed produces? Firstly, sanctification. That is that we become more like him. Romans 6:22 says, "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life." Philippians 1:11 says, "Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God." Colossians 1 and 10 says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So that seed works in us to make us fruitful in every good work, in righteousness, in holiness, in sanctification, that we become more like him. Secondly, that seed brings about spirituality in a person, that we behave more like him. Verse 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." This is the fruit that the seed will produce in the believer when it lands in good soil. And thirdly, souls, that we are burdened like him, Romans 1:13. "Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among other Gentiles." Paul's heart was to see the churches fruitful. He didn't just want converts. He wanted disciples who were bearing fruit. He wanted to see lives that were transformed, and a people who were fruitful, who had those good soil hearts, so to speak, that Jesus spoke of, who heard the word and understand it and saw it bear that fruit in their lives. Our burden this morning is to see a church grow and bear fruit, not just in numbers, but in souls transformed by the power of God and making us Christ-like. We want to see God's work, not man's work. A building that's built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. That's what the church should be. But the seed cannot grow if it's not in the right soil. And the issue this morning is not the seed itself, but the soil. And that's where the problem arises, doesn't it? The soil represents the human heart. And the parable that Jesus gave us gives us four types of soil. And the ability of a heart to receive the word of God depends on which soil type we are. It's not that the soil in all four types isn't able to germinate the seed. You know, the gospel is to all men. All are able to receive it. But obviously, in reality, not all do. The four soil types really reveal an understanding to you and I of the human heart, why people are resistant to the word of God or don't allow it to take root in their lives. And the truth is, all of us will be and probably have been all of these soil types at one time or another. Firstly, we've got the hard soil. In verse 4, it says, "And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them." And he interprets that in verse 19. "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside." Now, the wayside refers to the narrow paths that ran through the fields in those times. These were the roads of the day, and the soil on them had become as hard as concrete from the feet of those that walked upon them. And when the seed fell on that wayside, it couldn't penetrate the soil. It remained there in the open, only to be devoured by the birds. We're told that this speaks of the person who hears the word, but who doesn't understand it. They can't relate it to their life. The word is unable to penetrate and take root. The soil is so hard and compacted, their hearts are so hardened and calloused, the seed cannot penetrate the soil of their heart. And the Bible tells us that men's heart gets men's hearts get hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. In Hebrews 3:13 says, "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." All hearts, and our hearts as well, are all capable of becoming hardened, and it's done, and it happens through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is the catalyst, if you like, for hardening the heart. If we're living in hypocrisy, if we're practicing sin, our hearts will grow cold and eventually harden, and we'll become unresponsive to the word of God. We lose that vital ability to feel conviction. We become deaf to the warning voice of Scripture. For the unsaved, in this state of hardness, the Scripture is of no understanding to them. They can't relate it to themselves because they're totally closed off from getting it into their heart. Satan easily steals it away with his lies and excuses and deception. They are easily robbed of this, of the truth, easily deceived because they are so hardened internally. They love their life of sin. They don't see the need to change. But more important for you and I, as believers, is that we can grow cold towards the word of God in our hearts. And that's a dangerous place for us to be in. If we allow compromise and sin in our lives, if we foster hypocrisy, we begin to shut our hearts off to God. We lose that ability to hear from the Lord. We become dull of hearing. You know, if God can't reach our heart, how can we respond or change? We cannot allow our hearts to become hardened. That's why it tells us in the Bible to exhort each other daily. We need God's exhortation in our life, don't we? In our homes, at work, in church. We can't allow sin to dwell in our lives. Just like the Hebrews had to sweep their houses to make sure there was no leaven, we have to sweep our hearts, don't we? Make sure there's no hidden sin lurking there or hypocrisy dwelling within us. Because sin is poison, isn't it, this morning? It hardens the heart. We need to ensure there is no sin in the camp. We need to keep our hearts open before God, tender before God, so we can continue to be pruned and challenged and disciplined by the word of God, so we can continue to hear from God. Because if if we don't hear from God, we can't be a doer of the word, can we? If you're not a hearer as well. And if you don't hear the word, how can you be a doer of it? And you can't hear the word if the soil of your heart is hard and the seed from God's word can't penetrate it. The Bible says to guard our hearts with all diligence, because out of it flows the issues of life. Then we've got the stony soil, verse 5. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no roots, they withered away. And in verse 20, Jesus interprets that. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Apparently these stony places are common in Israel. Often there'll be an outcropping of rock covered by a thin layer of topsoil, and the soil looks like it's ready to be sown. The ground looks good and productive, and seed is casted that it will germinate. It will spring up quickly into a promising plant. But because there's no depth of the soil, as soon as the sun beats down upon that tender plant, it withers and dies and doesn't produce any fruit. And these are those who love the message of eternal life. They love the idea of forgiveness of sins, of the benefits of salvation. But when the rubber hits the road, when the reality of commitment and or persecution or rejection or troubles or tribulation or suffering comes because of the word, because they have no root in themselves, it says, they quickly fall away. They love the blessings and the emotions of salvation, but they don't want to pay any price. They only want to follow Christ for a while until things get difficult. until too much is asked of them. It's like those who followed Jesus for food and drink, but when things got hard, they walked away. John 6, 26 and 27, Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labour for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." John 6 and 66 says, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you also want to go away?' But Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" Too often people serve God for what they can get, for the blessings, but they're not willing to pay the price. You know, Christ asks our all to give up all to follow him, to be willing to pick up the cross daily, to die to self, to bear the reproaches, and to even suffer for the gospel, to be willing to fully yield to God with all that we are and all that we have. But not everyone's willing to pay that price, are they? And because it is an expensive price. Yes, salvation is free, but as it's often said, it'll cost you everything. And it's true. If our roots are only shallow, then when the hard times come, when the difficulties come, many are nowhere to be seen. Fair weather Christians. The old saying is true, isn't it? If you don't like the heat, get out of the kitchen. Matthew 16, 24 to 25. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." You know, there's a lot of Christians who love the social side of church. They love the singing and the clapping. They love the promise box of scripture. But the reality of serving Christ means that you and I will come into direct confrontation with our flesh, the world and the devil. And we'll either be willing to die to self to follow Christ, or we'll become just religious and backtrack and compromise. Christianity always brings us, doesn't it, to that crossroads of decision, to a place where we have to choose who we're going to serve. And it's at this point, sadly, many do walk away. Paul said, didn't he, "All in Asia have forsaken me." He spoke about Demas. He said, "Forsook him, having loved this present world." And that's an issue, isn't it? They're not rooted in Christ. They still love the present world too much. And they're not willing to fully let go. And because of that, when the difficulties come, they go with the world. Thirdly, there's the thorny soil. And verse 7, it says, "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them." And verse 22 says, "Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." This soil looks like it's also ready to be sown, but underneath it, the surface, there are the roots and living and seeds of thorns and thistles. And when the seed falls here, it also springs up and gives every indication that, you know, it's going to be a good plant. But however, the ground also begins to produce thorns and weeds that were already there, and soon they choke out that tender plant, and the plant withers and dies and it becomes unfruitful. And this can happen to any one of us this morning. We become unfruitful when the cares of this life choke out the life of God. We all have worries and cares to attend to in life, don't we? Pressures on time, money, responsibility. And the danger in life for you and I is letting those things take over to the point where we stop looking to God first and we spend our time dwelling on the problems and the worries and the cares. 2 Timothy 2, 3-5 says, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules." It's an interesting word the scripture uses in that verse, entangled. I don't know if you've ever been caught in a thorn bush, but every move you make, you become more hindered as it begins to snag on the thorns. And that's a good picture of how the cares of this life keep snagging us and we can't move forward. We become unfruitful, it says. It's not an overnight event. It's something we become over time when we allow life's problems to entangle us. But you and I are called to be soldiers of Christ. We're warned not to allow ourselves to be entangled in the affairs of this life. Our focus needs to be Christ, not just on the here and now. Jesus told us not to be anxious about what we will wear or eat, but we are to cast all our cares on him because he cares for us. We are to be anxious in nothing, but with prayer and supplication make our requests known to God. The problem when we dwell on our problems and difficulties, and it's not that we don't have to deal with problems and difficulties in life, but we need to do it in light of God and Christ. We too often respond as mere men, don't we? We act out of our own resources and when we're in that mindset. Our focus needs to be Christ. Under pressure, we need to turn to him. As it says in the hymn, when we're cumbered with a load of care, let him bear the load. Let him take the burdens and the worries. You know, our problems diminish when we look up instead of looking down. How can we bear fruit if we're only focused on the negative and the problems and all the difficulties? It just crushes our spirit within us. And there won't be an ounce of faith in any of us. We'll either trust God or we don't. And that's a choice we have to make, isn't it? He's either God or he isn't. He can either move mountains or he can't. He's either all powerful or he's not. What are you going to believe? Who are you going to trust? What you see with your eyes? Or are you going to look to the God who sustains you? He's more than able, isn't he, to keep us. More than able to provide and to meet our need. Doesn't mean that there's no problems in life. But you have a God who is with you in the time of trouble, who shelters us in the storms of life, who's a refuge and a very present help in the time of difficulty. If we allow it, our troubles and our sorrows will swallow us whole. We'll become all encompassed by them. We need to lift up the hands which hang down, as the scripture puts it. Not cast away our confidence in Christ. Lean on him for strength and mercy and for grace to help in the time of trouble. To approach the throne of grace with confidence, knowing that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That he hears our cries, he knows our distresses. He's able to comfort the weary this morning. He's able to give strength to the feeble. That's the God we serve, isn't it? Fourthly, the good soil. And but others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Finally, some seed fell on the good ground. This ground had been worked and prepared. It had been ploughed and tilled. It was ready to receive the seed when it came. The seed germinated within the heart of the soil, and the plant began to grow. And when the plant reached maturity, it began to produce fruit that brought honour and gain to the farmer who sowed the seed. That's a picture of the heart that's been ploughed deeply by the word of God. It's a picture of a heart that's been tilled and prepared by the grace of God. And when the seed of the gospel hits this kind of heart, it germinates, it grows up, and it bears fruit to the glory of God. The only difference between all these soils was the fruit. On the hard soil, the seed did not penetrate, but it disappeared, being removed by the birds. In the other three, it disappeared within the ground. In the last three soils, a plant did a result, but only the good soil brought forth the harvest, didn't it? And the good soil is the heart that's willing to hear, that allows the word of God to take root, a heart that's free from entanglement, that's open and tender, that's willing to yield, that's fully immersed in the word of God, and it can't be deceived because it loves the truth. We're all capable of becoming any one of these soils, hardened, shallow, choked with thorns, or we can be the good soil, responsive to God, willing and obedient, trusting and faithful, believing God, willing to endure difficulties and hardships and pay that price and pick up the cross and follow Christ. The question is what type of soil are we? Are we bearing fruit to the glory of God as we ought to? Some of the plants in the good soil brought forth more fruit than others, but the point is they all bore some fruit, didn't they? Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. If you're saved this morning, your duty is to abide in Christ, and he produces that fruit in our lives, as it tells us in John 15. If we abide in him, Jesus produces the fruit. The key is that we have to abide. The only way we can remain fruitful and see the harvest in our lives is by being that good soil, by allowing God to fully control our life, by being willing to follow him, regardless of the personal cost, to being willing to pick up the cross daily, being willing to die to self, being willing to surrender our whole will to his will, being of an honest and humble heart before God, to trust him at all times through good and bad, knowing that he cares for us. We need to be that good soil. We need to respond when God speaks to us. We need to allow his word to take deep root in our lives, because that will preserve us. When our lives are built on the foundation of his word, they're built upon the rock, aren't they? And when the storms of life come, that house will stand. The key thing is that we bear fruit. And this can only happen to you and I, because we can't bear it of ourselves, can we? He is the vine. We are the branches. But unless we're connected to the vine, we are only going to wither and die, and we won't produce fruit. But if we stay connected to the vine, we will produce fruit through the Holy Spirit and through the grace of God. Amen. 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 Let's pray.